the blessed month of Ramadan.
In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and welcome to the 7th episode of this series. Stay tuned, please. On the 7th day of the blessed month of Ramadan, we start today's discussion by asking whether fasting is a type of austerity, and if so, what is its difference with non-religious austerity? Prior to responding to this question, one should initially define austerity. The term austerity is defined as tolerance of hardships and placement of restrictions on oneself in order to achieve spiritual and physical abilities and or to purify one's soul. Fasting in the blessed month of Ramadan during daytime hours is in accordance with the rulings determined by the divine religion of Islam for the betterment of mankind. The philosophy behind Islamic rulings aims to deliver human beings from ignorance and wayward life. So, the outcomes and effects of religious and non-religious austerities are completely different from each other. In non-religious austerity, the goal is to achieve physical and economic power. In religious austerity, the goal is not to attain power. In fact, the goal of religious austerity is to purify one's soul and to place oneself on the path to development, albeit by achieving spiritual and physical power. The other difference between non-religious and religious austerity lies in what we make of the related outcomes and results. A faithful individual, by adhering to the teachings of Islam, attains balanced growth and development, which he never wants to misuse in pursuit of the wrong path. On the other hand, an ascetic who is not religious attains certain abilities via austerity, but uses these abilities for wrongdoings. Non-religious austerity requires isolation from society. Islamic austerity requires constant presence on the social scenes for proper development of spiritual and moral values that are of service to mankind. Dear listeners, it has been said that during the Battle of Mu'tah in what is now Jordan, Ja'far ibn Abi Talib, the elder brother of Imam Ali, peace upon him, had fallen on the ground due to his wounds a few minutes prior to his martyrdom. He was taken to the tent of the wounded. His eyes were closed. It was clear that he was very thirsty. They brought him a glass of water. They gently shook his shoulders. He opened his eyes with difficulty. He was asked whether he wanted to drink water. He told them to keep the glass of water until the evening call for prayers. He added that he would drink water then if he was alive. Otherwise, he would rush toward his Creator without quenching his thirst while reminding that he was fasting then and had no intention of breaking his fast. Dear listeners, Ayah 14 of Surah Ali Imran reads, "To mankind has been made to seem decorous the love of worldly desires, including women and children, accumulated piles of gold and silver, horses of mark, livestock and farms. Those are the wares of the life of this world, but Allah, with Him is a good destination." God has granted human beings the needs of spouse and children, as well as material benefits such as wealth in addition to food and clothing, and all to be enjoyed in lawful and legitimate manner. But one should be aware that all these pleasures are temporary. Thus, one who believes in God and the Day of Judgment should not attach much importance to worldly desires and should not be deceived by them, because on the Day of Judgment, worldly riches and desires will be devoid of any value. In Ayah 46 of Surah Kahf, God says that the pleasures of the world and children are an adornment of the life of the world, and these perishable things have been bestowed as a divine test and tribulation to determine the faith of the people. The faithful only make use of worldly desires to meet their needs and believe that the material world is a prelude to hereafter, which will bring about eternal life for mankind. This ayah also points out that good individuals attain proximity to God. This fact has been stated in order to encourage mankind to prioritize eternal joys in the proximity of God to temporary worldly desires. Consumption of meals in regular times is one of the most important lessons that the blessed month of Ramadan teaches those who fast. Thus, selection of a specific period of time for eating meals is highly beneficial for the individual's health. One of the most important of these benefits is storage of energy throughout the day. Irregular consumption of meals and skipping a number of meals causes shortage of energy throughout the day. But timely consumption of food maintains the balance of blood sugar and prevents weaknesses resulting from hunger. The blessed month of Ramadan raises a golden opportunity for maintenance of personal discipline and preparation of oneself to lead a good lifestyle in this month and thereafter. Avoidance of eating and drinking in a number of known hours and continuous protection of soul also regulates one's mindset. Religious figures have put emphasis on maintenance of health, compliance with hygienic principles, and healthy dietary regime. Thus, avoidance of harmful food is a must. Prominent religious figures' remarks in this domain revolve around moderation in eating and terms and time of eating. The first infallible imam of the Prophet of Islam's household, Imam Ali, peace upon him, noted, "Whoever maintains moderation in eating becomes healthier and betters his mindset and wisdom." If we comply with this principle in the blessed month of Ramadan, we realize that there is no need to consume excessive amount of food at iftar and sahar in order to fast. Body maintains regulatory mechanisms which are activated during fasting period, and body fat is effectively burnt in this month. Hence, body reaches a balanced dietary regime for maintenance of the individual's health and activities throughout the blessed month of Ramadan.